Welcome in to My Guys in the Desert. I'm Danielle Avari at the VSiN Circa Studio. At the South Point Sportsbook today, we have Matt Youmans and Wes Reynolds. The NFL draft is 7 days away, just 1 week, so you know we're going to have a lot to talk about with that later on in the show. But first things first, some NBA news. Anthony Davis is returning to the Lakers. He's been out 9 weeks. There's 14 games left in the regular season. LeBron also has been out for the past month with a right ankle sprain, and yet the Lakers still +350 behind the Nets to win the championship and are the favorite to win the Western Conference at +175. Those numbers from DraftKings. Clippers are behind them for the Western Conference title at +260. How big is this return for the Lakers?
Yeah, the Lakers have kind of been out of sight, out of mind, right, Wes? Because without Anthony Davis and LeBron James, it's all the talk has been about other teams, and you haven't heard much about the Lakers. I think that they are lucky to have Anthony Davis back at this point. I really didn't think we would see him before the last week of the regular season. Mm-hmm. Maybe that he would come back and play for a week before the playoffs. The fact he's coming back this soon, I think, is encouraging. By the way, the Lakers, 15-20 against the spread without Anthony Davis in the lineup. They have not been a very good basketball team without him, and obviously without AD and LeBron, it's double trouble for the Lakers.
Well, they've been a very good defensive team because they are leading the league in defense, just allowing 107.3 points per 100 possessions, but it's the offense that's really struggled. So obviously he can only help from that standpoint. They're a +8.7 point differential, and he's a plus really on both sides of the court. I'm going to be interested to see how this rotation, as he gets, you know, more minutes as we go on. He's probably only going to play about 15 to 20 minutes a night in Dallas and then gradually increase on the basis of his health. But now the rotation has to change, at least down low, with Andre Drummond, who they added, Marcus Gasol, Montrezl Harrell. So somebody's probably going to lose some minutes here. But credit to Frank Vogel, though. The Lakers haven't totally dropped off, even though they've been a little out of sight, out of mind, as you said, Matt. They haven't totally dropped off the face of the earth. They've only dropped down to the 5 seed. They're 3 games back at the Nuggets to try to get home court in the first round of the playoffs. But I don't know if that matters as much to them. What matters is obviously being full strength, but getting AD back, I think, at least to get a few games under his belt, and then gradually you'll see his minutes increase.
Yeah, you mentioned that minutes restriction, and obviously it's going to affect how the props play out tonight as well, so keep an eye on that. Taking it to the Eastern Conference, though, the futures here, the Nets are the favorite at -112, the Bucks +350, the 76ers +440, the Heat 12-1, Sixers and Bucks play tonight. Who do you like right now in the Eastern Conference?
I'll actually defer to Wes here because I don't like the Nets. And right. I've been in that, I've had that same opinion. I've been in that camp pretty much the entire season. And even at the times when the Nets were playing really well, I had to shut up because the Nets became a very popular team with a lot of bettors, even sharp guys. But here's the problem. I think they look a lot like the Clippers last year, where you just don't have your three stars on the floor together at the same time very often. And you can't use the playoffs to get accustomed to playing together. And all of these guys have shown injury tendencies, right? Kyrie, KD, James Harden. I think the Nets are a little too fragile for me to back. My problem, Wes, is I just don't know who I want to back in the East if it's not Brooklyn.
Yeah, I think the team that I like the best of those three are the Philadelphia 76ers. Granted, they're big underdogs tonight because Ben Simmons, Tobias Harris, Seth Curry, not likely to go, or at least questionable at this standpoint. That's why you're seeing Milwaukee laying as high as 8 in the market for tonight's game. JVT and I discussed this last week where we talked about, I don't know how Milwaukee is having better odds to win the East necessarily than the Sixers are, being the fact that Milwaukee, we know what happens to their defense when Giannis goes to the bench. It absolutely falls off a cliff. And I think with Philadelphia, you're not going to get Joel Embiid resting all that time. I mean, you always worry about the risk of injury with Embiid as he has an extensive history of injuries. But I do like the Sixers best of those three. Now, you may want to wait in terms of betting the Eastern Conference because maybe they get the break speed off of them tonight by the Milwaukee Bucks, and all of a sudden you'll get at least maybe a small adjustment tonight with the Sixers. But of those three odds, I think I've seen them like +350 or 4-1 to win the East. Of those three teams, Philly is who I like best.
How about the Knicks? Why not the Knicks?
I guess why not the Knicks? Yeah. Nobody's beaten them at this standpoint now. Six games over 500.
Better question, why the Knicks? Why the Knicks?
Wow,
all right. We have
like
a lot more to talk about right here on My Guys in the Desert. Welcome into My Guys in the Desert. I'm Danielle Alvari at the VSiN Circus Studio at the South Point Sportsbook. Today we have Matt Youmans and Wes Reynolds in, and a great show ahead of us. Coming up in just a bit, we'll have Randy McKay, handicapper. We'll have Derek Stevens and Mike Palm in the Circus Studio. And later on, Lou Finicaro. Matt Youmans.
That's Big Randy McKay, Danielle. Call him Big Randy. He's going to be on to talk FCS football and hockey. He's got some best bets tonight, so you don't want to miss that in about 40 minutes. And I know that's one of your favorite guys, too.
Absolutely. He always does the when I'm coming. I'm afraid I got some bad news for that old wrestler, Bad News Barrett. But the pride and joy of North Dakota will be on at the end of the hour here.
In hour number two, Lou Finicaro on UFC. So we have two of our favorite guys in the desert as guests surrounding Derek Stevens and Mike Palm on today's show. And another good lineup set for Friday's show. But first, let's go to the Los Angeles Lakers. And Danielle brought this up at the tip. Anthony Davis returns for the Lakers. I said they have been sort of out of sight, out of mind without AD and LeBron for the past month or more. But now you're going to start to see the Lakers look more like normal. And the Lakers are 17-6 when Anthony Davis plays this season, outscoring opponents by more than 7 points per game. Lakers are 18-17 when AD does not play, outscoring opponents by 1.5 points per game. And that's from ESPN Stats and Info. But, Wes, it's a little bit more complicated than that, right, too? Because sometimes LeBron is in, sometimes LeBron is out. It's about a lot more than just AD, but he's the guy making the return tonight.
And before I get to that, final score finally in Cincinnati in 10 innings, this marathon game, Diamondbacks 14-11. Snakes get the sweep in Cincinnati, have taken 5 of 6 from the Reds in the two series this year. But back to the Lakers tonight. You got to give Frank Vogel some credit. I think Frank Vogel and some of these coaches, when they coach superstars, I often think don't get credit. It's like, okay, they just roll the basketballs out. I mean, that was kind of the narrative about Eric Spoelstra, right, in Miami, that, okay, he's got the big three, so how can he lose so that you don't do any coaching? But it's quite the contrary. And Frank Vogel, if you followed him back in Indiana when he was the Pacers coach, always a very good defensive coach. And to be able to make those adjustments and get these guys to buy in without your two top players, I think has been a pretty remarkable feat for the Lakers to not have dropped. Because you always get that overreaction when both those guys were out. It's like, oh my God, they're going to be in the play-in series in the Western Conference. But they've only dropped to number 5. And I think they've had other guys injured too. They've had Dennis Schroeder in and out of the lineup. So the defense has been there. AD is only going to help in that regard from the offensive standpoint to at least give them some kind of consistency, because we've seen the Lakers be really hit or miss with this offense without their big two guns. So I think obviously to get him back, at least at this point in the season, give him some time to get used to playing again, get him back in game shape before you get into the playoffs, is nothing but a good thing for the Lakers. By the way, that line opened 4 in the overnight, now down to 3 and even some 2.5s out there in the market.
A lot of places, 2.5 on this game. Dallas, 2.5-point favorite, total of 216 tonight. And one thing about the Mavericks that should be pointed out, the South Point is one of the books that has the Mavericks at 2.5. Dallas is 6-14 against the spread as a home favorite this season. So Dallas has not been that good on its home floor. But is this a little bit of an overreaction? You know, AD is coming back, but he's not going to be the same AD, and he's only going to play maybe 15, like you said, 15 to 20 minutes.
Right, and that would make me lean a little bit to the under here. And what you mentioned about Dallas against the spread, they're also 4-7 ATS in the second game of a back-to-back this season. Some teams, the back-to-back really doesn't affect them, or maybe the market overreacts a little bit. But for Dallas, it's been absolutely true, because they've had at times where Porzingis doesn't play the second game of a back-to-back. He looks like he's good to go tonight. Dallas relatively clean on the injury report. And by the way, Marc Gasol questionable for the Lakers, but Schroeder, Drummond, and Morris should all be able to go tonight. So I don't know if I really want to do anything with the side. If I do anything with this game, it's going to be on the under here because the Lakers have been really good defensively. And I think getting AD in, I think for only 15 minutes, isn't really going to get them all out of whack from that side of the ball.
All right, how about Suns and Celtics in Boston? And Suns are now 1.5-point favorites, total of 220.5. A lot of times this season we've talked about how the Celtics have struggled. That's not really the case right now. Turning into more of the team that we expected the Celtics to be all season. You can't completely buy in yet, but the Celtics are playing a lot better basketball.
They certainly are. Jaylen Brown is going to be questionable tonight, and you're seeing Phoenix only lay 1.5. Keep in mind, last night they laid 3 at Philadelphia without Simmons and Harris, as Embiid almost made that full court shot at the end of regulation to send that into overtime. Ended up closing 3, and that's what Phoenix won by. Phoenix has won their first 2 games on the road now. They did win in Milwaukee on Monday night, and then in Philadelphia last night. So you beat 2 of the top 3 teams in the East, and Jaylen Brown is actually doubtful for tonight. Jason Tatum is going to go. Robert Williams, Evan Fournier also out for Boston. And yet you're looking and you're seeing Phoenix only lay 1.5 here. That kind of, it's one of those games, things that make you go, hmm. And that's kind of what I'm thinking here with Boston, because you're playing a lower team than you played in the first 2 games, who you beat on the road. You beat Milwaukee, you beat Philadelphia. Now it's a small drop down in class to play the Celtics, and yet you're only laying 1.5. I would lean C's here in the spot, even without Brown.
Yeah, it's a suspicious line, but it is a tough back-to-back, too. So that's part of it. But with, you know, the Celtics are 8-2 in their past 10 games, but without Jaylen Brown, I would be a little bit hesitant to back the Boston side tonight. But it is it's far from an ideal scheduling spot for the Suns, who have had some tough games this week.
Yeah, no question about it. But a good start. They have a 5-game road trip. This is the middle spot here.
Yeah.
And could maybe go 3-0, but already successful at 2-0 on the trip.
I don't even know what it means when a guy is listed as questionable in the NBA.
You never know.
If he's doubtful, I'm just going to consider him out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you're handicapping a questionable, who the hell knows what the case is. How about Sixers and Bucks tonight? You talked about the shot, Embiid. Almost one of the greatest game-ending shots you've ever seen. You want to describe it?
Yeah, and thank you to Chris Paul, because I did take 3 once it reached the apex on the Sixers last night. So he missed the second foul shot. Embiid gets the rebound and just heaves it from the opposite basket. And it, you know, kind of trickled around the rim, went in and out. And that would have been one of the most miraculous shots you ever seen. And maybe that would have changed some MVP votes. We talked about what Curry had been doing lately. But if he would have hit that, because Embiid right now pretty much a consensus second choice in the market behind Nikola Jokic of the Denver Nuggets. But Philadelphia, they got down a little bit, and then they hung in the game, made a little run late, made it interesting, kept cutting it to one possession. They foul late. Paul splits a pair. Embiid with the near miracle shot, the shot of the season, certainly in the NBA. But now they got to take to the road and face Milwaukee. And it looks like we're not going to get Simmons, and it looks like we're not going to get Tobias Harris. Seeing 7.5 in the market and even some 8s, including right here at the South Point. I don't know if this is one I want to get involved in, really, from this standpoint, from the side. Would lean a little bit to the under, because I think you know that these two teams are sizing each other up.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe you get, at this point of the season, where you've played just a little bit less than 60 games, rather, maybe this is kind of like one of those playoff atmosphere type of games where it's like, okay, we got to see how we measure up against these guys. So maybe that's a little bit more predicated to the defensive side. And if I get involved here, it'd be on the under, nothing on the side for me.
Yeah, I think it'll be tough to back the Sixers tonight. Again, another tough scheduling spot for a team that played a difficult opponent last night, came up short, and you're not sure who's going to be on the floor for the Sixers. And why would Joel Embiid really play a back-to-back here?
And especially without likely without Simmons and Harris,
right.
This is kind of maybe one that
it's almost like you could see the Sixers sending out their B team tonight.
Yeah, I mean, you hate to have a mail-in spot at this standpoint, especially against the team that you could potentially face in the semifinals or even the Eastern Conference Finals in the playoffs. You hate to kind of mail it in, but when you know you're not at full strength, maybe this is one that Embiid could possibly sit out. So that's why I think maybe the under could even have a little bit more value, because maybe they decide about a half hour or an hour before the game, Doc Rivers says, okay, we're just going to have to be shorthanded tonight. And obviously, if Embiid is out, you're going to see this line go up to probably double digits, and then you're going to see the under get hit or adjusted downwards at least by about 3 to 4 points.
All right, so right now at the South Point, it's a Bucks minus eight, total of 225 in that one. We'll talk more NBA later, but that's half of tonight's card. Quick recap of what happened last night. I guess it's fair to say Stephen Curry finally got cooled off. Mm-hmm. And cooled off in a big way. 2 for 14 from three last night. So we can, quiet down the MVP right. campaign for Steph Curry after last night. He was 7 for 25 from the field. And the Golden State Warriors blew a fourth-quarter lead and fell to the Wizards in Washington 118-114.
And I probably got a little fortunate here because I did take the Wizards plus the two at home. And they were down 11 with like 6 minutes to go. Yep. So it's one of those spots where it's kind of in that dead zone there where it's like, okay, is this team going to go away or are they going to fight? And the Wizards, credit to them, they fought because, look, they're trying to get in that 9-10 spot and those play-in type spots. I think the Wizards are in the 10 spot right now. But I just thought it was a tough spot for the Warriors because they've already won a couple games on the road on this road trip. Now you're going to Washington. This was actually the last game on the trip for Golden State. So they already went 3-1. So it's like if you take 3 of 5 on an East Coast road trip and you're in the West, that's a successful trip for you. So the Warriors, it just seems like Curry started missing in the fourth quarter and they just like ran out of gas a little bit and the Wizards had some energy. I just thought that this was a bad spot and it was kind of a fishy things that make you go, type of line, only laying two. And then what we heard and what we talked about on My Guys on Tuesday was like, okay, Curry is now getting some MVP buzz. All the national hot take shows were like, Steph Curry, 20-1, he's on absolute fire. And when that happens, when you get all of the national mainstream media kind of on one side, the boat's about to tip over. And that's kind of what I thought was going to happen. What ended up happening now is fortunate on Washington being that they were down 11, but made a nice comeback down the stretch, even though Russell Westbrook did throw it away late and tried to give the Warriors the tying shot to send it to overtime.
Andrew Wiggins also missed a layup.
He did.
Man, that guy's a frustrating player to watch. He looks like he should be so much better. 5 for 20 from the field last night, 0 for 7 from 3. And a layup that I think would have tied the game,
yes.
Right? Rolled off.
Yeah, it was right at the rim.
Oh, my gosh. Come on, Wiggins. That's pathetic. All right, quick look at the NBA tonight, at MLB, wrapping up the NBA. We got two pretty good games. We've got time to do one of them now. Padres-Dodgers open a series in L.A. Obviously, we've seen these teams meet in San Diego last weekend. Didn't go so well for the Padres, but all were close, intense games. Padres have now lost 5 of their last 6. Each of those 5 losses by at least 2 runs. And here's something to point out with the Padres. They're going to start Ryan Weathers tonight. I think he's going to be about a 3-inning type of pitcher. The Padres bullpen has pitched 88 innings this season, more than any other team in baseball. Tampa Bay, number 2. So the Padres bullpen's a little bit burnout. They're going with Weathers tonight against Walker Buehler, and the Dodgers are minus 170, total of 7.5.
Yeah, and that's a good point you make on the bullpen. Feeling independent. Yeah, it's top 5 as a staff, as a bullpen, as ERA, in terms of whip as well. Now, they had to use them a lot yesterday because Dennelson Lamet left after 2 innings. Yeah. So that's a little bit of cause for concern. And if you're going to fade the Dodgers this year, really what you want to do, not that they're bad against left-handed pitching, but they are worse against left-handed pitching. And you saw it the other day against Seattle. They only got 2 hits and 7 innings on Marco Gonzalez. But fortunately for them, it was enough as they got a 1-0 game as Julio Urias, I think, had 11 strikeouts there. What you mentioned about Weathers, he's a guy that's kind of a short starter, really, out of the bullpen. But he's been very good. 9 2/3 innings, only allowed a run, 3 hits, 10 strikeouts, 195 weighted on base average against him. Went 3 2/3 last time against the Dodgers and did pretty well. Only gave up one hit. So if I was looking at this game, I thought about maybe playing the Padres on the run line, the +1.5. Maybe look at the first five here. Uh-huh. Assuming maybe they extend him and he goes four innings or something like that, taking that bullpen into account. I think that first five I'm seeing right now as high as 175 actually at William Hill. And if some of those shops offer run lines, you can take San Diego plus a half a run in the first five innings, plus about $1.10-ish in that range. And that would certainly be the way I would look.
All right. If you like the Dodgers tonight, and they're going to be a popular public play for a lot of people on a regular basis, Dodgers are 14-4 straight up. -170 tonight. If you lay the run and a half, it's +120 on the Dodgers if you're inclined to play the run line.
And Buehler's been a little bit better, but his xFIP's about 2 runs higher than his ERA. He's not striking out a lot of guys. I think it's about 6.5 per 9 innings, because the concern for Buehler in the start of the season, when we were talking about the Dodgers in spring training, is how much his velocity had been down. And he's not really striking guys out. So I think he's due a little bit of regression, but with the bullpen concerns, first five would be the best way to go for me.
Two finals in MLB to get to right now. Wes mentioned one. D-backs finally put away the Reds 14, 11, and 10 innings. That was a wild one, Wes, and safe to say way over the total.
Yeah, it was 2-1 after the fifth inning, yeah. And then all of a sudden the whooping sticks came out for both teams. But 14-11, D-backs get the sweep at Great American Ballpark.
And the Pirates get the win at Detroit 4-2. So the Pirates and the under hit in that game. Did you have any action early in baseball today?
I did have the under in the first five in Arizona-Cincinnati, but also had the over in the first five in Detroit. Fell short by a half a run.
You got fortunate. That was a smart play, first five in Cincinnati.
Usually it's a getaway game, and I like to play that angle when you got both teams having to travel the next day. I often like to play those, especially on Sundays.
All right. We will get away from the end of this segment and come back with best bets, NFL draft, and more next here on My Guys in the Desert.
To the OddsTrader.com studio at the South Point Casino. Make sure you check out OddsTrader.com and download the free OddsTrader app right now so you can start winning with the up to the second info you need. Now back to My Guys in the Desert with Matt Youmans and Wes Reynolds.
All right, Wes, let's talk a little NFL draft here. I can't get enough of the NFL draft. I love the event. We had Frank Schwab of Yahoo Sports on yesterday. He said he doesn't get that fired up about the draft. I watch every minute of coverage on the networks over the weekend. I record all the shows, go back and watch everything late at night. I love the draft. You can learn a lot about these teams throughout the draft. It's not just about who they're picking, in this round or in the fourth round or fifth round. You learn a lot about the teams and what they think of themselves by how they draft. And you can just learn a lot about the league in general by following all the draft coverage. Now, in terms of breaking down the props, I spent a lot of time on this, and there are a lot of books with a lot more props up on the draft than we've ever seen before.
Right. We've mentioned this before. This is kind of an unsophisticated market, if that's the right word, because it's really unsophisticated on both sides, not only behind the counter, but also with the players, because it's so new and they're adding more and more props. Because look, all the books that are maybe not Las Vegas based are doing this. So it's kind of like you got to keep up with the Joneses and you got to get this stuff out there for the public to be able to bet.
All right, take a look at the best bets I put up a couple days ago. And this Justin Fields prop has been hammered to the point the South Point has moved the total to 4.5.
Mm-hmm.
Justin Fields draft position over 3.5, -155. That's where Chris Andrews put it up on Tuesday. That was a better price than you could find at Circa, where I almost made the bet at Circa over -185. I saw the 155 here and bet it. Well, that's been hammered by so many bettors now that Justin Fields' draft position at South Point's now up to 4.5.
Right. Yeah. And when you have news come out, obviously, because it's a brand new market, every bit of news that comes out, everybody's going to overreact to, whether it's the bookmaker moving the price or the bettors betting the price. It did come out. Justin Fields had mentioned that he battles epilepsy. So I don't know if that's the big adjustment in terms of that price. I stayed away from this because it's kind of been like it couldn't be anybody other than Mac Jones. And then it changed about a week or two ago. If it couldn't be anybody but Justin Fields. You know it's going to be a quarterback, but I didn't really want to guess which one it was going to be. But it looks like if you guess Mac Jones, you're going to be right.
Well, it's more about information and reliable sources reporting that Mac Jones' epilepsy doesn't have anything to do with it. With this number.
And you even have to be cynical about stuff like that, as sad as that sounds, because, look, we get to this time of year and agents and general managers and player personnel directors, they lie to these guys, and this gets reported, and the sources, you know, because they want somebody from NFL Network or ESPN or any of these other media outlets to put something out there that they know it's not true, where it's like, we're telling people we're going to draft that guy, and it's like, there's no way we're drafting that guy.
Well, here's the thing, the Niners don't have to throw up a smokescreen because you know number one is Lawrence, number two Zach Wilson. So the Niners don't have to play games here. But you have Adam Schefter, you have Michael Lombardi, a lot of reliable sources out there saying, hey, it's Mac Jones to the Niners. Lombardi said 90% Mac Jones, 10% Trey Lance. You don't have to be a math major to see that I leave 0% for Justin Fields.
So we actually trust the guy that's been in the room and not somebody on Twitter.
And he's got connections all throughout the league. So you bet Justin Fields over 3.5, and that's where a lot of the sharp money is right now. I've got Kyle Trask, draft position under 77.5, and that's the Florida quarterback. I still think there's a good chance he's going to go in the second round. Now, one of those guys, and you can bet this at DraftKings too, you can bet on Davis Mills, the Stanford quarterback.
He's been getting a lot of the steam in terms of the under right now.
So Mills looks like he's going to be the sixth quarterback off the board. Kyle Trask could be seventh, but we know the Chicago Bears have a lot of interest in Trask, and some other teams do. And hey, breaking news, NFL teams overdraft quarterbacks, and they reach for quarterbacks, so he's probably going to go in the second round. Najee Harris, Alabama running back, first running back off the board, minus 150. I think he's got a slight edge on Travis Etienne in that prop, and I don't have a problem laying 150 there. I think there's a decent chance the Steelers take him at number 24, or maybe the Buccaneers at number 32. Wide receivers in the first round, I like this a lot.
I'm going to follow on that one. If I can get close to that number, I would definitely follow on that receivers in the first round.
Over 4.5, minus 200 was the DraftKings price a couple days ago when I put this up. Now, a lot of books have jacked this price up a little bit in the past 2 days. I think there's a great shot. You see 5 and maybe 6. I've seen 8 different receivers pop up in the first round.
I was looking at that last night, and I was looking at all the different mocks, and I would see the Batemans of the world slipping into the first round. We know there's at least going to be 4, but you've seen quite a lot. And I think once you get to that 31 or 32, there's always a chance somebody trades up into the back of the first round.
All right, we'll come back with Wes Reynolds' best bets tonight. You don't want to miss that next on My Guys in the Desert.
Welcome back in. I'm Danielle Alvari. The spring sports betting action is in full swing, and our VSiN experts are covering early season baseball, NHL, and NBA playoff races. Plus, we're looking at all the key picks and predictions for the NFL draft, just 1 week away. We give you all the tools to make the most of every bet, including our 24/7 video coverage, odds and analysis for every game on VSiN.com, our daily members-only best bet emails, and in-depth coverage of every major event in Point Spread Weekly. Now is the time to sign up for your VSiN 10-day free trial at vsin.com/subscribe. Now back to My Guys in the Desert with Matt Youmans and Wes Reynolds.
All right, Wes, let's get to your best bets tonight because that's what the fans want. People want to hear. And I want to know if you're going to have a play on the Yankees tonight because they've been a fade team for the most part. Last night, the offense was anemic again in the Bronx. A lot of frustration with the Yankees with within that organization right now, if you read the New York Post every day, the writers are fed up watching this team. Is this finally a spot where you might be able to say it's a buy-low spot for the Yankees? I see even money out there at a couple of books, plus 101 at Circa. Yankees and Indians in Cleveland, Domingo Germán against Aaron Civale.
Yeah, I think maybe this could be the buy-low spot here because, look, getting away from the stadium when you haven't really been playing very well, albeit limited spectators, usually not a bad idea in New York with all the post headlines and just to get away from that. But I do like the Yankees in this spot just because I think the matchup is a little bit better for them. If you look at what the Tribe does against right-handed pitching, they are 26th in the league and weighted on base average, which by standards, if you really search and look at what some of these advanced metric term means, that is classified as awful to be 284 in WABA. And then they're 80 in weighted runs as well, which is below average. So the Indians have really struggled against righties. I think Germán, I know he's been a little shaky his first two starts, but his peripherals are a little bit better in how he's really pitched and the results he's gotten. Yankees, by the way, are fourth in weighted on-base average against right-handers, and they'll get one with Aaron Civale tonight. Problem with Yankees is they've been striking out a little too much. They're only 25th in contact rate, just 73%. But they get a guy in Aaron Civale that is a pitch-to-contact pitcher. And they've had some struggling hitters now going forward. Stanton, by the way, not in the lineup. He's really struggled. Aaron Judge looks like he's starting to swing the bat at least a little bit better, as is DJ LeMahieu. The guys in the middle tonight who have been bad, Mike Ford, Gleyber Torres, Aaron Hicks, they've got to be better. Also, Odor getting the start tonight at second base. But I do like the Yankees here getting plus money, and that's what you can find in the market. Basically, even money on aggregate. Mm-hmm. Avalanche.
How about the other baseball play you've got here? Let's go with that one next. It's Marlins, Giants. And this one at 9:45 p.m. Eastern tonight. It's in San Francisco. Aaron Sanchez is going to start for the Giants, who are minus 145, 150. But you're going to play the total.
I am. I'm going to play the over here, despite the fact that the Giants have not hit left-handed pitching very well at all this year and really haven't been scoring runs at home. However, it's kind of one of those things. I remember old buddy Dave Koken once taught me this years ago. He goes, lefty, a first time through the league, especially against the National League, first time they play a team, go ahead and bet that guy. And it worked with Daniel Castano last time out. He won 4-1 last Friday. Yep. But now this is the second time that the Giants are going to see him. So you got to think they're going to make the adjustments a little bit. Aaron Sanchez on the mound. Aaron Sanchez is trying to be a little bit more of a ground ball pitcher because he had that Tommy John a couple years ago, even though he's got 12 strikeouts and 14 innings pitched so far and has only given up four runs in his starts. But I do like the over in San Francisco tonight. And then the hockey play I'll go to St. Louis Blues plus 146 over the Avalanche. Avalanche about a week and a half removed from COVID-19. Now the Golden Knights have at least passed them by, I believe, a point in the standings. VGK, first team to clinch a playoff spot right here at T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas last night. Blues are kind of one of those teams that they're trying to get in the playoffs, and now they finally got Vladimir Tarasenko back a few games ago. They had missed him all year long. Bennington is playing better. He had kind of struggled. They are one game out of the spot in the West right now. Arizona Coyotes at 45 points. St. Louis Blues at 44. I do think the Avs are going to get better here. I hope it doesn't work out like it did for Vancouver, though, when they had almost 3 weeks off due to COVID-19, and then they go ahead and beat the Maple Leafs as big underdogs. So Colorado getting the money, and right now I think Colorado is the best team in the National Hockey League, certainly in that Western Conference, even though they're now, I believe, 4 points back at VGK, but they got some games to make up. So I thought this price was a little bit inflated tonight.
You know, I've got Colorado ranked ahead of the Vegas Golden Knights as well, just slightly. Now, Steve Mackinnon's power ratings in Point Spread Weekly have Vegas as the number one team and Colorado number two. And Vinny said, well, that might have something to do with Vegas being a little deeper in terms of quality goaltenders. But I think it's tough to rank Vegas ahead of Colorado.
Well, and I think Colorado, even though I think VGK's got a lot of talent and a lot of firepower in their own right, Colorado has a ton of firepower.
Yeah.
And that's where it's almost like inevitable. It feels like that these two teams are going to meet in the playoffs. Now, where they meet, who knows, but more than likely in the finals, because it's not that typical Eastern and Western Conference. You got four different divisions this year.
I watched the Vegas Golden Knights game last night. They beat the San Jose Sharks 5-2. I watched that at the new Raiders Tavern and Grill at the M Resort. Wes, have you stopped by? You live out here in this neighborhood. Have you been to the new Raiders bar at M Resort?
I need to do that. Yes, I've seen pictures of it, and it looks very nice.
Outstanding. I was out there last night. Love it. Let's look at the mock draft I put in Point Spread Weekly this week. And, Wes, you tell me at the top if there's anything you really disagree with or teams that you think might make a trade or something that could, mix up what I've got here, throw it out of whack, or you know how mock drafts can implode with one pick mm-hmm. that causes dominoes to fall a different way. Mm-hmm. When you look at what I've got here on the mock draft, tell me what you think might change. Where do you see a potential problem in terms of a curveball that a team might throw?
Well, everything there is logical, and obviously this is not accounting for potential trades right. that may happen. This is basically just the order and then assigning a player to a given pick. But Penei Sewell makes sense to Cincinnati, and I know they got to protect Joe Burrow, but it wouldn't surprise me if they grab Chase there at number 5.
Smart and then, Chase, wide receiver.
LSU. And then are you going to start to have runs on receivers with teams wanting to trade in and maybe somebody wanting to grab Waddle? Because clearly Detroit, they've lost almost their whole core in free agency, so they want to grab a receiver. Pitts, if he was a receiver, would be ranked probably as the number one receiver in this draft. So everything there pretty much makes sense, but it's all going to be predicated on whether Denver wants to trade up or whether New England maybe wants to trade up and grab a quarterback. So all depends on if Fields falls a little bit. We know Lance maybe could fall a little bit. So it's going to depend on what's going to happen there at the quarterback position.
I mean, number 4 is a huge mystery, right? We don't know if the Falcons are going to trade out of that spot. If they stay there, the Falcons, I think, are probably going to take Kyle Pitts.
Yeah, they could grab Fields, they could grab Pitts, or they could trade out.
All right, quick break. We come back. Randy McKay joins us. He's got FCS football and hockey best bets. So come back for that in a couple minutes here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back into the OddsTrader.com studio at the South Point Casino. Make sure you check out OddsTrader.com and download the free OddsTrader app right now so you can start winning with the up-to-the-second info you need. Now let's get back to My Guys in the Desert with Matt Humans and Wes Reynolds.
All right. Always great to welcome in Big Randy McKay from North Dakota. We're going to talk college football, Wes. FCS playoffs this weekend. The bracket is out. The lines are up. And if you love to bet college football, jump back in this weekend and listen to what Randy McKay says about the FCS because he follows it closely and he bets it. Randy, how are things up in North Dakota? Is it snowing today?
No, actually, it's very nice, almost golf weather here. It's 60, not quite warm enough yet for shorts, but close to be able to get out on the course here soon.
Well, I'm going to have to join you up there. Wes, I've been to 48 of the 50 states. How many have you been to, do you know?
Not 48, and I've never been to North Dakota.
I've been stuck on 48 for about 10 years, and I've not been to North Dakota or Alaska. I keep telling Randy, I'm going to make it up to North Dakota. We're going to have to golf this summer. I'm just going to jump on one of those flights, get up there for about 2 days, play golf, and come back, and I cross North Dakota off the list. He tells me how great it is. Randy describes North Dakota like it's paradise.
Yeah, the greatest state of them all.
All right, so I knew you were going to have plays on a couple of these FCS games. I'm going to start here with Eastern Washington, North Dakota State, with North Dakota State favored by 6.5, total of 54.5. What's going to be your play in that game, Randy?
Okay, this is a rematch of the 2018 championship game, which I was on with Brent and called for a 38-24 final for NDSU, and got it right on the nose. So hopefully I do the same thing in this game. The FCS has been kind of a mess this year. There's been a lot of cancellations. They were supposed to get most of these teams were supposed to get 8 games off, but they only got a lot of them only had like 6 games.
Yeah.
So it's like short sample size, a lot of these games. But these are two different style teams. Eastern Washington's a high variance, high offense, bad defense type team, you know, high fluctuation, where NDSU is more of a ball control defensive type team. But these two teams, when they've gotten together, made for two really good games. That being said, North Dakota State is not as strong as they have been in the past. You guys were talking NFL draft earlier. There'll be three from North Dakota State's team from the last year's team. Trey Lance, of course, you guys know. There's a Dylan Reduce. He's a big tackle. And there's a Jabril Cox. He was an outside linebacker for LSU last year, but he played for NDSU as a grad transfer. So there's three top 50 players that'll get drafted from NDSU. That's how strong FCS football can be. I mean, a lot of people downgrade it, but it's pretty strong. But these two teams are opposite, but I see Eastern Washington hanging close and maybe even pulling out an outright victory. They got a really good dual threat quarterback and Barrier, and the Bison are banged up coming off South Dakota State, which, again, they got manhandled, which they never do. I see about a 35-31 final, and I would take the Eastern Washington plus seven or higher. 6.5 is fine, too.
Okay, well, yeah, if you can get seven, take seven. I see 6.5 at the Westgate, but if seven's out there, take Eastern Washington plus seven, says Randy McKay. When did you nail the exact score when you were on with Brent? How long ago was that?
2018, it was a championship game. I was on with them before the game started, I think the Friday.
That's as good as it gets. All right, so let's talk about another one here, Missouri State, North Dakota, and North Dakota laying seven, total of 44.5.
And I'll be at this game. I actually texted the coach today, Bubba Swigart. He's a pretty good friend of mine, and I wished him good luck, and he said his team is ready. I don't know if they'll be ready. They haven't played since March 20th. You know, that's a lot of time off.
Yeah.
I mean, South Dakota State did play well last week and with their time off, but, yeah, who knows what you're going to get here. And Missouri State actually comes in this game playing pretty good, and they've been playing games. So I definitely see a low-scoring, grinded-out type game. Bubba Swigart is a kind of coach that he's an old school kind of run the ball defensive style coach. And most of his scores at home are low scoring, where most of Missouri State's scores on the road are also low scoring. So I recommend a total under 44.5 there. And also you could also parlay probably Missouri State with it. It would be a decent bet. I see a low-scoring game, and hopefully, you know, for my sake, I'm going to the game. Hopefully North Dakota pulls out about a 3-4-point victory there.
All right, Randy McKay is going to be at that game. Missouri State, North Dakota says Missouri State plus 7, but the better play under 44.5 in that one. Randy McKay with us, professional sports bettor, frequent VSiN contributor. And, Randy, one more game in the FCS playoffs that you want to mention here, Southern Illinois and Weber State. And Weber laying 4 and a total of 48.
Yeah, this is a matchup of two teams, one from the Missouri Valley and one from the Big Sky, and I follow both those conferences. I don't usually follow the two outside or any of the other outside conferences, except for maybe I look at some James Madison scores, which they're a pretty dominant team, and I think they'll make a pretty good run in this tournament as well. It's this 16-team tournament. So, but this game here was Southern Illinois and Weber State. Weber State got snubbed a little bit, so they're feeling a little edgy here. They got a very strong defense, and this is a tough travel spot for Southern Illinois to go up to Weber State. Southern Illinois is kind of a home team anyway, so I favor the team with a strong defense here, Weber State, laying the 4 points. The line's come down from 6 to 4, so maybe it'll keep coming down, but I definitely see Weber State winning this game.
Randy, over the ice tonight as we're getting closer to the NHL playoffs, Colorado and St. Louis. Colorado a little over a week off due to COVID-19, missed about 3 games. Now VGK has passed them in the standings because Colorado has been on the sidelines. They go to St. Louis tonight. Looks like the Avs are getting at least the early money here, up to about 155, as high as 160. We saw Vancouver have 3 weeks off and then sweep the Maple Leafs, and we'll get to the Maple Leafs here in a moment. But do you think Colorado shows some signs of rust here or just resumes where they left off?
Yeah, I heard your breakdown on it before, Wes, and you're pretty spot on all that as far as liking St. Louis. I like them as well. One thing I will add, Devin Dubnyk is in goal instead of Grubauer. And Devin Dubnyk is a pretty big drop-off compared to Grubauer, so I like to bet against like them type goalies. So I definitely see taking St. Louis here plus a nice plus 145 or better price. So I took that, and that's one I got today in the NHL.
And, Randy, let me go to the Maple Leafs as well, because Toronto Maple Leafs, all of a sudden, they looked like they were going to run away with that North Division. Really, nobody stepped up to challenge them, but Toronto is coming back to the field here. Only 4 points ahead of the Winnipeg Jets, who they're going to visit tonight. Leafs 0-5 the last five, and they actually got swept by the Vancouver Canucks, who had a little over 3 weeks off due to COVID-19. Do you think that this is a buy-low spot on the Leafs, or are they just falling back to earth and just go ahead and keep fading them until they get right?
No, this is definitely a go-against Leafs spot here. Winnipeg is a team that controls a puck, and I like that against Toronto. Toronto has trouble with the face-off zones, and the last few times they played, Winnipeg's controlled the puck because they got three really good centermen and Shifley, Stastny, and they brought over Dubois, which was a big trade. And I actually took feature on Winnipeg at 50-1 when they did that. So I like Winnipeg in this spot. I've been betting more NHL in-game than I have pre. I actually got three pre-flop plays today, which is rare for me. I've been doing more in-game and tracking that, and that's actually been working better for me this year. The books have stepped up and had more in-game offers, so that's worked out well. That's something new I put in kind of in my repertoire.
And Randy, the third pre-flop play you mentioned, Ottawa and Vancouver, the Vancouver Canucks did beat the Toronto Maple Leafs after that long respite due to COVID-19. But Ottawa looks like they're getting the money from the overnights. It was 140, seen as low as like 120 at BetMGM, 125, basically the market average. Do you kind of go against the overreaction, I guess, that Vancouver did beat the Toronto Maple Leafs? These are the two teams, by the way, in the cellar in that North Division.
Yeah, I really like the way Ottawa's kind of been playing here since they started off really bad. They had a bad team, but they put a lot of these good young players in there, and they've been kind of rising up here. And I think Vancouver, coming off the two games with Toronto, and in fact, they're also starting Demko, which he started the other two games and stood on his head for those two wins. And I think that's another good reason to like Ottawa in this game. Of course, I don't know if Matt Murray's playing. I assume he is. But I definitely like the nice plus price here with Ottawa, and I took the plus 130. Even though the market's still moving, that doesn't affect me. I still like the Senators in this spot.
All right, that's Randy McKay, one of the sharpest professional sports bettors you're going to find. Follow him on Twitter at RR39. Randy, put up any FCS opinions you have up on your Twitter page this weekend for those who want to bet it and follow you, okay?
I will do. I think I might have a couple more. I've been kind of studying these other teams a little bit more, but, the Sam Houstons and some of these others. But it should be a good tournament, and hopefully there's no more NCAA problems like there was with the hockey, with the college hockey and everything else.
Yeah, there are definitely some issues with the college hockey tournament. But it ended with a winner from Randy McKay. I believe UMass won that, and you were on UMass in the final game, right?
Yeah, I did get that one right, even though I did pick Duluth before that to beat them, and that turned out to be a good game. But UMass deserved it, and good for them.
All right, Randy, have a good trip to the North Dakota football game. Appreciate the time. We'll take a quick break here on My Guys in the Desert. Back at hour number two with Derek Stevens and Mike Palm.